Well, if you're listening for Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio, you've probably already noticed that that is not the theme music that we normally...
That's not the regular music.
...that we normally don't open with the particular music that you hear, that you heard. And there's a very good reason why we're playing that particular music at this particular time.
Well, that was a very beautiful piece. And here in studio with us is our guest, Liam Bonner. He is the executive director of the Indianapolis Symphonic Choir. So welcome to Faith in Action, Liam.
Thanks so much for having me.
And you're actually a parishioner where? Downtown somewhere, right?
At St. John the Evangelist.
That's awesome. And there, well, first of all, tell us what that music was that we just heard.
That was a little bit of a clip from the Peter Schreier recording of the Bach Mass in B minor. We wanted to give a little demonstration about the piece that we have upcoming. And so that's a little clip from there.
And it is, since you mentioned a piece from the upcoming event, let's get that right out there and tell us what the event is coming up.
Sure. The Indianapolis Symphonic Choir is performing the Bach Mass in B minor on Sunday, October 27th at 3 p.m. at Second Presbyterian Church. Tickets start at $30, and we have a varied price range. They can be purchased online at indychoir.org or by calling 317-940-9059. We also, this year, are adding an opening night dinner that will follow the performance immediately after, which will be held at the Indianapolis Arts Center Ruth Lilly Library.
Oh, wow.
Catering by Jackie's Gourmet Catering, a wonderful fall menu. Very, very appropriate for the current weather.
Oh, totally.
Wine and beer, beer provided by Sun King, and a mixed cocktail provided by Hotel Tango, two of our great sponsors.
Wow, what a great preview to some great music. Well, you know, what is a symphonic choir?
Oh.
I don't even, you know, I'm not even sure what that is.
Perfect, yeah, no, so the a symphonic choir in general.
Yes.
Is basically a large group with a mission of singing works written for choir and orchestra. And so in order to balance the amount of sound a large symphony orchestra can make, we utilize over 100 vocalists for most of our concerts, sometimes as many as 200. And then many of those works are written in foreign languages, so our singers are have proficiency in languages outside of English. We have them sing in Latin and German, Italian, French, others like Spanish, Russian, and even Portuguese.
Wow. So how is that different from another choir, for instance? Is it because there's an orchestra involved, or...
Yeah, with the main mission of performing with an orchestra, we work with the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra. We're a partner of them. In fact, we were founded at the symphony's request back in 1937. So we're actually two individual organizations.
Oh.
They hire us to do their great choral masterworks,
uh-huh.
And occasionally we have the opportunity to hire them in return when we do our own self-produced pieces. And we say, you know, we don't want to wait around for them to do the Brahms Requiem, so we hire them and hire the Hilbert, and we produce that concert. So it can be a little confusing sometimes when people attend, you know, at the Hilbert and they see the symphonic choir and the symphony, whose production it actually is. For this Bach Mass in B minor, we're partnering with the Indianapolis Baroque Orchestra. So what's a little different this time around is that it'll be a smaller choir, more traditional to what Bach originally wrote. It'll be 50 voices because you need that balance with the Baroque instruments. If we had the 100, 150 voices, they would overpower these Baroque instruments and you wouldn't hear the orchestra. So that's sort of that balance. So a symphonic choir does those great big symphonic works with variations here and there, like the Bach this time.
And when you think about... the Eucharist being the source and summit of our faith, it's so cool that the music really is basically big music to go with that big statement.
Oh,
if you
truly.
Know what I'm saying?
I mean, so many of these composers, that's their inspiration, and that's something that's very special to me and my background in music and my faith, is that these composers wrote, that's where a lot of this comes from. All of these great masterworks, these great choral sacred masterworks, so many of them are based on the Catholic Mass and the liturgy. you know, Bach was a Lutheran, you know, big, heavy Lutheran in Germany. And here was this guy who was writing the ordinary of the Latin Mass over a period of time. He didn't write it all in one fell swoop. He took his time writing it. And actually, it's believed that he never heard it fully performed. But he would go back and revise it and continue to pull the texts from the liturgy. And that's, I think, also something that's really amazing, that we are doing a very Catholic piece written by a Lutheran in a Presbyterian church.
Wow.
And to me, that's the power of music. You know, it's a great unifier. And so it's a shared experience and a wonderful, wonderful event.
Well, I'd love to hear a little bit about your role in the Indianapolis Symphonic Choir. What do you do, and how did you get into this? Are you a musician by profession, or what's your musical background?
Oh, gosh. Okay, well, let's see. Maybe we'll start with the history first and work up to the present.
Okay.
I actually, my original profession, I'm a retired opera singer. I had a professional career for 10 years, was very, very fortunate, sang at some pretty well-known houses like the Metropolitan Opera, LA Opera, Washington D.C. National Opera, and did my training with the Houston Grand Opera. Sang a little bit in Europe, but I met my wife, and that was it for me. I decided that I didn't want to be on the road 4 to 6 weeks at a time as a general contractor for opera companies, not the type of family life that I personally desired. And so that career was no longer conducive. And I thought, okay, what do we do moving forward? And with the advice of some wonderful mentors, and of course my wife and other family members, decided I definitely wanted to stay in the arts. I was still incredibly passionate about music, and decided, well, maybe I'd love to be back in Pittsburgh, my hometown, one day, and be the head of the School of Music at my alma mater, Carnegie Mellon. Said, okay, well, how do I do that? Well, I learned that in order to be even considered for a position like that, you have to run something successfully. Okay, how do I get a chance to run something successfully? And for the arts, it's fundraising. You have to know how to fundraise if you're going to run an arts organization. So I got into development with the Houston Symphony. My wife and I actually moved up to Indy in January of this year for this opportunity. But I did 3 years of fundraising with the Houston Symphony, learned those ropes, and then had this opportunity to come to Indy as the executive director of the Indianapolis Symphonic Choir, which is couldn't be more perfect combination for me of my background as a singer, my experience working with a symphony orchestra, and then merging them together. So now my job is to run the administrative side of the choir. We have an artistic director. He and I are equals. We both report to the board of directors. He runs the artistic side. He selects the pieces that we're going to produce every season. There is collaboration, of course. We discuss it, but he really leads that charge. And then I'm on the other side making sure we can afford doing all the things that he wants to do.
So what goes into picking a piece? You know, how do you determine what gets chosen and all that?
Oh, yeah. No, that's definitely something that takes a lot of time and preparation. In fact, I've already been having meetings with him about next season and the season following. So we plan very far out in advance because things change. You may have an idea of what you want to do, and as you're getting further and further and closer to that date or performance or that fiscal year, season, what have you, something came up, something's changed, finances aren't where we expected them to be, a soloist that we had is no longer available. You know,
yeah, because you have to have people to perform certain pieces, you
exactly
know, and you kind of know what your talent base is, and what, you know, some things are more difficult than others. Probably everything you pick could probably be performed though by your choir.
Oh, definitely, yeah. The first and foremost aspect is the choir itself, which I have to point out, this is a group of 180 voice auditioned, they're auditioned annually, volunteer singers.
Ooh.
It is an amazing group of people that I am completely in awe of and have been since I applied for the position. they dedicate so much time, and it's such a passion of theirs to sing this repertoire, to be part of this choral family. It's a very special experience. And I will say, we do auditions annually, so if anyone's listening and think they might be interested in exploring more about being a part of the choir itself, please check out our website. We have all the audition information up there. I believe there's going to be a new round of auditions in November already, actually.
Now, as part of your job also selecting venues for the various concerts, and what are some of the venues locally that you have used?
Sure. Yeah, I have a hand in that, because we do have to reserve the space, so all the contracts there. So Eric Stark and I, our artistic director, we discuss where he might think a particular piece would have the greatest impact. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, we've done the Bach Mass in B minor at Hilbert Circle Theater in the past. I think the last time we did it was 2009, maybe. So it's been about 10 years, something like that. But for this year, it was very intentional to do this sacred piece with the smaller orchestra, the way Bach originally wrote it, mm-hmm. And in a sacred setting.
Ah.
So intentionally going to a church and doing it there. We use the Warren Performing Arts Center on the east side and mm-hmm. the Palladium up in Carmel for mm-hmm. our Festival of Carols performances in December. We use...
Are there performances every... Let me just jump in.
Oh,
are there performances every... How often, if people want to see your choir, I mean, how often can people see?
We have three self-produced productions every season. Next year I'll give a little insider trading, maybe, that we'll probably have four. They are our Sacred Masterwork series. That's one of the core missions of the organization. So every year the symphonic choir produces one of the sacred masterworks. Last year was Haydn's Creation. I don't want to give away next season because it's not solidified yet, but
sure.
Us out in the spring for the announcement. But things like the Bach or the Brahms Requiem, Rachmaninoff Vespers, all of these great choral sacred masterworks, and that's a very branded series that we have in the organization.
So, how long is the piece that of Bach's Mass in B minor? How long is the piece? I mean,
oh, sure.
The older pieces they seem to like. It's, you know, they're not like modern songs.
Right,
know?
No. It's going to
is
a full-on concert.
Is it one song, basically? One piece, or how do you...
Is one piece, but we are doing it with an intermission.
Okay.
So you'll hear the first half. It'll go about, I think, 50 minutes for the first half. There'll be a 20-minute intermission, and then the rest of the concert. So at a 3 o'clock start, you'll be fully done with the concert at 5:20. And that's including the intermission. So it is a time for I think reflection and contemplation while the piece is being performed. It is the Latin Mass. I think the listeners would be very familiar if they attended. I don't think anything would be shocking or jarring. I think the music itself is some of the most beautiful music ever written for chorus. And we have four fantastic soloists, the Indianapolis Baroque Orchestra, and I think it's going to be a very special experience.
We need to take a break, and when we come back, we'll be talking some more about the Indianapolis Symphonic Choir. Stay tuned for more Faith in Action.
The Indianapolis Symphonic Choir's 83rd season begins Sunday, October 27th at 3 p.m. with Bach's Mass in B minor as part of its Sacred Masterwork series. This musical setting of the complete ordinary of the Latin Mass has been widely hailed as one of the greatest compositions in musical history. Conductor Eric Stark leads the Indianapolis Symphonic Choir and the Indianapolis Baroque Orchestra in this stunning performance at Second Presbyterian Church. Information including church group pricing can be found at indychoir.org.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
You can hear the Holy Mass every day at 8 a.m. right here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. I'm Bridget Ayer. Our guest today is Liam Bonner. He is the executive director of the Indianapolis Symphonic Choir. And we were just talking here at the break about Liam had kind of hoped that maybe that this could be performed at St. John's downtown. So what was going on with that?
Yeah, we met with Father Rick and talked about how that might work out. And
the music told him, with the space,
absolutely,
right?
Without question. I mean, it fits perfectly on so many levels. And he was incredibly gracious and accommodating and willing to explore this opportunity. But we chatted in March of this year. And my learning was that we had to wait until April, until the Colts officially released their schedule. And lo and behold, there was going to be a conflict because the game was originally scheduled for 4:25 that day, and we were planning a 3 o'clock concert. Happens to be a flex game, so they just announced already that the Colts will play at 1 that day instead of 4:25, so still a conflict. And my understanding is that you're not getting within, you know, 3 or 4 blocks of St. John's on game day with all the tailgaters, so that was going to be a little inconvenient for our patrons who wanted to attend the concert.
Well, maybe another time, because, you know, who knows, maybe something will come around again and another sacred masterworks could be performed down there. So
absolutely with Father Rick's blessing, and we would love to do that.
Well, let me ask you, what kind of planning goes into putting a production together like something like of this magnitude? Because there's lot of moving parts.
So many. In fact, at the staff meeting recently, we went through the timeline, and it was a massive 3-page ledger-sized paper document that runs down, you know, our production specialist, who's been phenomenal at coordinating everything, because he's coordinating the Indianapolis Baroque Orchestra that we've hired for this performance. He's coordinating the 4 soloists that we have, the 50 voice choir members for this production, the folks at Second Prez. I and our development director are coordinating the opening night dinner with the caterers and the event space at Indianapolis Arts Center. We are working with, everything you could possibly think of, all the ticketing aspects.
The sound check.
Exactly, the sound check. We have someone coming to do an archival recording for us, so that we have this in the anvils. And all the really small things, the volunteer ushers at Second Prez, the marketing and advertising efforts. And we're a staff of 6 full-time employees, but you know, that's the arts, and we find a way and we make it work. And sure. And people in this field are much like yourselves as a nonprofit, just so dedicated to the mission.
Happen, right?
That's what it's about, more than anything.
How many people does this venue seat?
Second Presbyterian seats approximately 700. We're taking out the first 5 pews so we can fit the Baroque Orchestra.
Got to fit the performers in there, right?
Exactly. But we do have access to the choir loft, which if I actually had the opportunity to sit up there, that's where I would choose to sit, to be above. I think the sound is probably best, but then you also get to see, you know, slightly elevated. That's how I like to watch baseball games. when I go to the Indians, I'm on the second tier, because I like a little aerial view of the action. And so you get to see all of the instrumentalists instead of just being on the same plane and seeing the ones that are directly in front of you. The choir will be on risers, so you won't have any trouble seeing them.
Okay. What practice is involved? I mean, how often does the choir have to practice? And then at what point do you bring the orchestra in to practice together? I'm guessing you do that, right?
Yes, absolutely.
talk about that.
This piece is so massive.
Yeah.
And so incredibly difficult. We have fabulously talented singers in our choir. But it's a difficult piece. It's a massive undertaking on many levels, this particular work. And so we started rehearsals in the summer already. Typically, the choir rehearses every Tuesday evening from 7 to 10. So a little information there for those who might be interested in auditioning
in the future.
At the Bazille Opera Center on 40th and Pennsylvania. So in that neighborhood. And but they've had 15 rehearsals already just for this concert, and that's not counting this week of production where it's every night.
Wow.
From 7 to 10, the Baroque Orchestra joins us this week. The four soloists join us outside of the rehearsals with the choir. Eric Stark is working with the soloists on coaching their individual solos and duets that they have with each other. He's working with the orchestra separately, making sure they've got all the correct markings and the tempi that he plans on taking in each movement of the piece. It gets very granular in order to, you know, and that ties into the sports analogy too that we were just discussing. You know, how do you connect the Indians and the Colts to the arts? Well, you know, when you go to the Colts game, you're watching everything in action, right? And it looks amazing. That's the performance part, right, that you would see at Second Pres on October 27th for the choir. But you don't see all that behind-the-scenes preparation, all the practicing, all the conditioning, you know. And that's that. Singers are athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone wants to discuss that with me, I'd be happy to anytime. They're not athletes in the traditional sense when we think of athletes, you know. But it's a very physical, anyone who's sung knows how physical singing really is. The breath control, the brain to utilize all those dynamic markings and the tempi and the translation. If you're singing in a foreign language, there's so many things happening at once, you know. So, you know, T.Y. Hilton isn't thinking about his technique every time he goes up for a ball, right? He just, it becomes automatic because he's put in all that work ahead of time. And that's what our choir members do. They're putting in all that work so that when you come to the performance, you get to see a few touchdowns.
Wow. Yes, exactly.
Now, you talked about a lot of rehearsals and prep that goes into this. This is a one-time performance?
Yes, this year it is. And there are a couple reasons for that that I won't necessarily get into. But in the future, we have plans to run more performances of the Sacred Masterworks.
Mm-hmm.
But it does make it tricky when it's one performance.
Yes.
But that's another. So that's one of the reasons that we intend to expand the programming for the Sacred Masterworks. You know, these singers do put in so much time and energy and dedication. To do one performance seems a bit cheated.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do have, though, the Saturday before the Bach Mass in B minor is a free educational opportunity for anyone. We are performing highlights from the Bach Mass in B minor at 2:00 on Saturday, October 26th. At All Saints Episcopal. There we go. Now we've got the Episcopalians involved.
Yeah.
This is the most evangelical concert I've ever heard.
They are hosting us to do our Inquiring Minds series, which our artistic director, Eric Stark, will talk about the piece, demonstrate some highlights, and what's really special about this version of our Inquiring Minds and what we hope to continue in the future is it will still include the full 50-voice choir, the full Indianapolis Baroque Orchestra, and our four soloists as they delve more into the music in a bit of a dialogue, educational experience, highlighting certain sections of the work so that you can have a deeper appreciation for the piece when you experience it on Sunday. So if you're available for both, great. If you're available for one or the other, it's a great opportunity to get your toe wet into the symphonic choir.
Now, I believe you said maximum seating like 700 people?
At Second Pres, at All Saints, it's 500.
So people need to get tickets in advance for the performance.
Yes, especially for Second Pres because there is reserved seating. They are the pew situation, so they're sections. So whichever section you purchase, you'd still want to get there for first come, first serve if you want to sit on the front end of your section or the back end.
Okay.
And then for All Saints, of course, anyone can walk in and attend. But if possible, we're asking if folks would kindly register on Eventbrite for the Inquiring Mind series, or they can go through our website just to register, let us know that they're coming so we know how many people to expect, but it's not required.
So if you could give us the date of the concert, the one that's going to be at Second Pres, and then where people can get tickets and more information.
Yes, the performance of the Bach Mass in B Minor is Sunday, October 27th at 3 p.m. at Second Presbyterian Church. You can get tickets online at indiechoir.org or by calling 317-940-9059.
I can't believe it. We're out of time, but this has really been fascinating and very interesting. Liam Bonner, Executive Director of the Indianapolis Symphonic Choir, thanks so much for being our guest today.
Thank you both so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
We'll see you at the concert.
See you then.